It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Verse 22.
And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom.
Now see, when this says damsel, means he's a little girl, he's a teenage girl. She danced, she made him happy, now he is very happy, want to give half of the kingdom. And this girl doesn't know how to make a decision because she is still a young girl, so she goes to her mother.
And she went forth and said unto her mother, What shall I ask? And she said, The head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king, and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist.
Now see, she went to the mother, and mother told her, This is what you ask. She never argued with mother. Why? Why the John the Baptist's head? I need something for me. Maybe a car, maybe something. Oh, those days there were no cars, but I'm just saying, she would have said, I want something for myself. I'm the one danced, but I just came to ask you, and you're telling me to do something else. But those children didn't have any say. Whatever the mother said, obeyed. And she didn't take much time, much thought to this, and Jesus ran, and she tells the man, I want John the Baptist's head in the plate. And when this man, he says, he made an oath, he promised her in front of all these people, so he was hesitating what to do. But that king also has some kind of authority. She was not his own daughter, so he would say, What are you going to do with the John the Baptist's head? Do you have any idea? Why are you asking his head? Can't you ask something else? Can you change your mind and educate that girl? She might say, I don't know what to do with the head. I don't need a head. Or say, take a week to think about it, and then we will decide. But what happened? Immediately this king also gives the decision. Read verse 26 and 27.
And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake, and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in the prison.
Now see here he says, immediately. He said, okay, go and get his head. Now if this king would have given a week, sometime they give some time. He said, okay, somebody wants to kill that person, said, oh, I can give you 1 week and enjoy your life, and then we'll kill you. They should have given John the Baptist some time. We are going to kill you, so do whatever you want to do. You cannot just go and kill him right away. But these kings, when they're drunk, they don't know what they're doing. But just think, if the John the Baptist's head was cut off, not given the notice, John the Baptist would have gone to hell. Somebody says, why? How come? He preached about Jesus. And why he would go to hell? I'll prove it to you. Go to the Saint Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 to 11.
Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?
See, what he's saying, John the Baptist sending these disciples and saying, Are you the one, or we should look for another? That means he lost the faith in Christ. He said, I don't think I was preaching about him, telling the world, I didn't know him, I saw him, the dove came upon him, the Spirit came, and now I'm witness. He says, Behold the Lamb of God who take the sin of the world, and now he's in prison. He started thinking, if the Jesus Christ was the deliverer, and send the captive free, why am I in the prison? Why cannot he come and deliver me? Why cannot he come and set me free? So he sends his disciples, say, go and ask Jesus, are you the one I was preaching, or I should look for another Messiah to come? So if you would have died in this doubt, you would have gone to hell. Okay, let's read further.
Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me.
See, when this message was given to the disciples of John, they went back and told the John the Baptist, this is the Messiah. He is doing miracles and signs and wonders, and he told us to go and tell the John the Baptist. So I think, it's not given, but I think when John the Baptist heard that, then he would say, he should increase, I should decrease. This is the one I was talking about, and he might have said, I made a mistake, and he was ready. When these people came to kill him, I think he was ready to die, because otherwise he would have been dead and gone to hell with the doubt. But his doubts were clear because Jesus said, go and tell the John. Okay, let's go back to the Mark chapter 6, verse 28.
And brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb.
His disciple came, took the body without a head and buried, and that news came to Jesus Christ. Mark doesn't say much about, but the Jesus took his disciples to other place. Go ahead.
And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught.
But they were telling about their story. They did not say what happened to John's body and what disciples did, but they're telling their story. Mark is recording. But go to the Luke chapter 9, verse 10. Luke says a little bit different.
And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida.
And so now, these disciples were tired. Jesus was tired. And now he wants to go to a desert place where nobody could bother him. Mark chapter 6, verse 31.
And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat.
He said, let's go to the quiet place, and we'll go there. And so the disciples also went there privately, he says. Privately means they did not advertise where they're going, and they just wanted to have a quiet time. But see what happens. Verse 32 and 33.
And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him.
They just saw him going with his disciples, so they had the idea where he might be going. And so all the people came from different city, and before he goes, they were already there. Okay, let's read. Verse 34.
And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things.
Now see, even though he was hungry, tired, but he forgot about food, forgot about everything, and he started thinking, these people are without a shepherd, the sheep without a shepherd. So I am the good shepherd. I should take care of them, start teaching them spiritual things. And he had in his mind, I'm going to feed them food also. And so when they were weary and tired, see what the disciples saying. Let's read. Verse 35 onwards.
And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat."
Now the disciples also thinking about the people, they're thinking about themselves, they might be hungry. He said, now it's going to get dark. Let these people go and get them food, and if they can come back if they want. But now we don't have here food, and we are in a desert place. There is no food, so let them go and get the food. Now we have studied this in Matthew and Luke and John, this story, but Mark gives in very short story. Let's read further.
"He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties."
Okay, now here in this chapter doesn't say where they got a food. Andrew goes and finds one young boy, and he had the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and they brought it to Jesus, and Jesus blessed the food and gave it to them. And here he says they sat in 50s and 100s, and Jesus looked at the heaven, blessed the food, broke the bread, and put it in the basket, and when they start giving to people, it multiply. Go ahead.
"And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes."
5 loaves, 2 fish, he divided to 12 baskets and gave it to people. And when they finished, they had the full 12 basket remaining food. And so this is the way God did the miracle, and they saw the miracle hand of Jesus Christ there. Okay, let's read a couple of verses and I'm going to finish it.
"And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people."
Okay, now here, the subject is going to change, but now these people ate, they were completely satisfied, nobody was hungry, and the boy who gave the food is not written in this book, but somebody provided the 5 loaves and 2 fish, that person got 12 baskets full, and everybody happy and joyful. Everybody went home rejoicing that got the word of God, the food, and everything. We are still doing it here in smaller way. So this is the way Jesus Christ taught them. When people come to hear the word of God, before they go home, give them physical food also. When you go to Jesus Christ, listen to the word of God. He is our good shepherd. He thinks about our spiritual, physical, and every needs. He provides the spiritual food, physical food, healing for your body, and everything what we need. Our Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. Mark chapter 6, verse 45.
"And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people."
Now he sent away the people, 5,000 men, the ladies and children, they were more than 5,000. So he sent them away and told the disciples, now you get into your ship and go other town. And then this story is written in Matthew chapter 14. You can read from 22 to 33 and John chapter 6, verse 14 to 21. But here we see, now Jesus tells his disciples, go to other side. And now they are sitting in a boat, they are going. But once God tells us to do something, we have to obey it. Sometimes it will be difficult, sometimes it might be easy. But when God tells you to do something, then God is going to come to rescue you also. Let's read the verse 46.
And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray.
Now, here we see disciples, they are always with Jesus. This time, Jesus was tired, disciples were tired. In that last chapter when we were reading, it says they were very tired and weary, and Jesus wanted to go to some quiet place, and they didn't tell anybody, let's go to quiet place and we will have some quiet time. But when they reached there were multitudes of people already there, and so they didn't have time. So Jesus sent these people away, and now he's going to the mountain. Now this is already evening. Jesus going to the mountain alone, sending the disciples to travel, and now Jesus is praying there. It's not a 1 hour or 2 hours. He's spending almost a night there in praying. And the disciples alone traveling. And see what happens. Verse 47.
And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them.
Now here we see, these people, they are going. Jesus Christ is only on the land, and now they are in the sea. And when they start traveling, the wind comes against them. And they are trying their best to pass. And somebody would say, why Jesus did this? He should have gone with them. Now they are alone. They are struggling. Wind is blowing against them. And here word of God says, they are now middle of the sea. So now they cannot come back. If they come back, Jesus will say, didn't I tell you to go there? And if they cannot go other way, they are in the middle. And they are struggling. And they were frustrated. That's what happens sometimes when you are sick, afflicted, no job, nobody cares. And that time, you are just like a middle of the sea. And say, Lord, where are you? Why are you not coming to rescue me? Why is this happening to me? I'm a child of God. I go to church. I pray. I give the tithes. I give offering. And I'm a good person. Why this is happening to me? And many people, when this thing happened, they give up on God. And then they say, we don't want this Christianity. We don't want Jesus. And they walk away from God. But the word of God saying, they were in trouble. Jesus Christ was watching over them. He knew where these people are. Because when you see the following words, Jesus Christ is coming and walking on the sea. If he could walk over the sea, he could know what the problem is. Ordinary person will never walk on the sea, right? We will drown. It's against the law, gravity. But here Jesus Christ is walking on the water, and the word of God says, as he was walking, he says he was going to pass them and go ahead. Now, just think, these people are sitting in the boat, struggling in the middle of the sea, cannot go anywhere, and here they see somebody like a ghost coming, and they are already afraid, and now they're thinking, maybe this is the ghost is trying to kill us, and this is the problem. So Jesus Christ, why he didn't go direct to them, but he's passing them? That means he didn't pass close to them. This is like when you are 100 feet away. And when you're coming from this direction, and you're almost in the middle, and then you walking a little bit, couple of feet. So it starts like, you know, you're not coming in their direction. You're passing by. So this was the situation. And they might be thinking, if this was a Jesus, he would not pass away like that. Why is happening to us like this? And this is the situation sometimes when we are in trouble, even though God is watching over us, even though God is looking at us, we get frustrated. Sometimes a child, you know, playing with the toy, and toy breaks down, And if mom and dad watching, see what the child is doing. And they watch and see the child is fixing. And it doesn't work. And then finally, child start crying. Then you can fix it or you can buy a new toy. So this is the situation. Jesus Christ is watching over them. And they did not know what happened to Jesus, how he's going to come, because the boats are all gone. And now he's in the mountain. And how he's going to come and what's going to happen? So this is the problem. In this scripture it says, this was the fourth watch. Fourth watch means it was almost 3 o'clock in the morning. Now can you imagine, they started there, evening maybe 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock before the dark, because the people ate and they left. And now they are 6, 7 o'clock, they are traveling. Now they are struggling until the 3 o'clock in the morning. And so they were maybe, this was not a powerboat. This they had to do, you know, with the hand rowing. And so they were really, really tired and really, really frustrated. Let's read verse 49.
But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out.
When they saw Jesus, they didn't recognize him. That means he was far away. It was not too close, even though he was passing by. So, but he was a little bit far away. And when you have this kind of wind and trouble and water and waves, it's hard to recognize the person. So they could not recognize, so they are crying. Let's read the verse 50.
For they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and said unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.
Now here, when they were crying, they saw somebody's coming. They did not recognize Jesus. Then Jesus immediately says, That's I. But I was reading in another Bible, it says, I am. And when they say, I am, they heard this I am word somewhere. If you remember, Moses saw the burning bush and he asked God when I was talking to him, he says, Who are you? He says, I am that I am, that I'm going to send you. So that's the kind of wording used when he says, I am. So these people, as soon as he said, I am, or I am the one, they recognize this is Jesus. But in this book, this is Mark, doesn't say anything that Peter walked on the water. He skipped it. But let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 14. Verse 27 to 33.
But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.
Now see, this is only in Matthew. This is not in Mark. So when we're reading the Bible, we should read all four Gospels to get the message. And if Jesus is walking on the water, I can walk on the water. That's the kind of faith Peter had. Jesus gives him command to come.
And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus.
Now here we see, when Jesus said Peter to come, Peter, he has to have faith. So he believed. Let's read a little further.
But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me.
Now see what happens here. This is the fishermen. They are not afraid of water. They are not afraid of drowning. But this was not the ordinary time. The waves were coming. And not only that, it was so big wave came. So you might be thinking, if that wave comes and I go under the wave, I'm finished. And that's the kind of fear came. Now the word of God says, read this, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. The word of God says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but God has given us power, love, and sound mind. People get afraid if anything happens, sickness, disease, job lost, or any other problem comes, the fear comes. How are you going to survive? If child is sick, the child is going to die, or any negative thoughts comes to your mind, you get afraid. When the fear comes, the fear is against faith. When the fear comes, that means it's not from the Lord. It's from the devil. So when we trusting in God, and when you have problem like this, you just call upon God. Say, Lord, I don't know what to do in this situation. God will come to rescue you all the time. The word of God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Any situation you go through and you call upon Jesus, Jesus will answer you. But there are Christian people, they are not reading the Bible. They are not praying. They just take somebody's word. And when the problem comes, they don't know where to turn. But our God says, call upon me and I will answer you. Go back to the Matthew. So when Peter saw this wave coming and he started drowning, what did he do? He called upon Jesus.
But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?
As soon as Peter cried and called upon Jesus, I don't know how far Jesus was, but he just gave his hand and picked him up. Now just think, Peter walked from his boat to Jesus 50 feet. It's not given here, but just believe it was almost 50 feet. And now he's drowning and 50 more feet to go. But Jesus stretched his hand and pulled him up. And now they have to come back, right? Now they were not near the boat, so they have to come back walking to the boat. And so it takes the courage. And when you are walking with Jesus, you are not afraid. Even though you are drowning, we had a problem. But once you hold hand up Jesus Christ, you can go through any kind of problem. Like Sammy says, Psalm 23, what he says, I will not fear any evil. So when we have Jesus Christ with us, we don't have to be afraid. Do you know 91 Psalm is a very powerful psalm? When you have problem, sickness, disease, plague, war going around, read that psalm. That is very powerful. Let's read that psalm. It's only 16 verses. Please read.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.